Hello, thank you for joining me again for our study of 1 Peter on our midweek Bible study. And so today we are going to do a continuation of the same passage that we looked at last week. Last week we looked at the Word of God, and we saw that we have been born again through the living and enduring Word of God. The Scripture revealed to us that we are purified through obedience to the Word, specifically the command to believe in Jesus. We were reminded that all things are going to pass away, but the Word of God will endure forever. We also pointed out that we should crave the Word of God like a newborn infant craves milk. There should be a hunger, a thirsting, a craving, a deep desire, even a desperation for the Word of God. We also saw that the Word of God is imperishable seed, and that imperishable seed produces imperishable fruit. The fruit that is produced is love. So let us consider love as we look once again at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through chapter 2, verse 3. So verse 22 starts out by saying, "Since you have purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth, so that you show brotherly love for one another, from a pure heart, love one another constantly. Because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the gospel that was proclaimed to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation, if you have tasted that the Lord is good." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the day that you have provided for us. We thank you for your blessings. We ask that you would watch over those who are sick and in need of healing. We ask that you would bring healing to them, not only physical, but also those that need emotional healing, spiritual healing, especially, as well as mental healing. And so, Lord, we face so many different things on a daily basis, and we ask that you would help us to know your presence and the peace that surpasses all understanding by being in your presence. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll start out by saying that as we think about this passage, as we think about the Christian life in general, love is a given. That means it's not necessarily something that ought to be thought about in that we think, well, maybe that's something we need to do. It ought to be an accepted thing that we ought to love. And as we look at verse 22, we see that if we have been purified by obedience to the truth, then we will show sincere brotherly love. The fruit of the imperishable seed referenced in verse 23, it is love in the life of the believer. This is a specific kind of love. Now, the Greek word for the first love found in verse 22 is the word Philadelphian. And it distinguishes it from the second occurrence of the word in verse 22. The second time love is translated in verse 22, it is from the word agape. Now, we'll look at agape later, but when we think of the word Philadelphian in the Greek, it means brotherly love as is translated into our English text. The city of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania is known as the city of brotherly love. And as we think about that brotherly love, we can't help but to think about the love between siblings. The thing about siblings is that you can't pick them. You're pretty much stuck with your siblings, for a lifetime. When we are purified by our obedience to the truth, we are adopted into God's family. And therefore, we are part of a larger family. And hopefully, as we grow in Christ, we have found a local church that we're a part of, that we're members of, and the local church is where the love of brothers and sisters should be seen the most, because we are not united by human blood like brothers and sisters with the same parents, but we are united with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's a blood that ought to bring us closer together than what we are by physical blood in physical relationships here on the earth. And so we are united together in the family of God. And when we consider the ramifications of being in Christ, we must understand that brotherly love that is experienced between believers must be more so than the brotherly love experienced between siblings. In fact, Christ expects us to love one another. In John 13:35, Jesus told his disciples, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And so Jesus said that the sign of being his disciple is loving other disciples, loving other Christians. And so I guess the greatest problem in our nation and even the world today is that there is a great lack of love. It is sad to say, but, you know, oftentimes in many churches, there's even a lack of love in those churches for each other. And the greatest testimony that we can give to others is how we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Everyone will know if we follow Christ, if we love one another. This is not just the people in your Sunday school class or even your closest friends, but all believers, all that are in this church. There ought to be a brotherly love. And I realize that not everybody is going to get along. Not everybody's going to be best friends. But at the same time, there ought to be a brotherly or a sibling type love that that does not fail, because it is rooted in the blood of Christ that bonds us together, unites us together, and being united by and through the blood of Christ, then there ought to be a love for one another that is brotherly, that fulfills this word, Philadelphian. And so, it ought to also include not just the person that you see every Sunday, but we ought to love the sporadic attender that's here one Sunday and gone three. It's a brotherly love that cares for one another, that goes and seeks each other out. It's a brotherly love that if you don't know the name of somebody that sits on the other side of the church, then you go try to meet them and find out who they are and let them know how much you appreciate them being a part of the church. This brotherly love that we find here in 1 Peter is assumed. It's assumed that we will love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's assumed because if you've been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've been purified by the word of God, then you will love. And so not only is it assumed and a given, but we are commanded by the scripture to love. The word love, in the second time we find the word love in verse 22, it comes from the word agape. Now, agape is used to communicate the divine love that God has for us. It is the same love that we are to have for each other, as well as the brotherly love spoken of earlier in this verse. And so not only are we to have that brotherly love for each other, but we ought to love each other with a pure love, which is an agape love, a godly love. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, we have this word. It says, "Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity, and when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross." And so here, thinking about Philippians, thinking about agape love in 1 Peter, we understand that this is the purest form of agape love. Jesus, who is the Son of God, or God the Son, he humbled himself and took on the likeness of man. He died and he rose again. Why? Because he loves you, because he loves me, because he loves the world. And so he had humbled himself and was obedient even to death. And this obedience that Jesus did for us, it calls us to die to ourselves daily. not just in our obedience to God, but in showing agape love to others. God loves us, expecting nothing in return. What could we give God for the love that he gives us? And so we can't return that love to the Lord. And if we are honest with ourselves, we would have to admit that we do not love God as he deserves, and probably it's beyond our capacity to love God as he deserves. But yet we still should love God with all that we are, as Jesus commanded us and as was commanded in Deuteronomy, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And so we need to give ourselves to the Lord and love him with all that we are. Now, if we're not loving God as we should, if we're not giving him all that we are and loving him with all that we are, then we're definitely not loving our Christian brothers and sisters as we should. And so as we think about love, as we think about loving each other with a brotherly or sibling type love, and then also loving each other with this agape or God-like love, we need to understand that agape love is humble, and we ought to love each other with humility. And one of the ways that I would put that is that we don't put ourselves first when it comes to loving others. We are humble. We're not proud. We're not arrogant. We're not haughty. But our love is a humble love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Agape love empties oneself for the benefit of others. And so that agape love requires us to seek the benefit of others, to see others as more important than us. In fact, agape love puts others first. We see this over and over again in the life of Jesus. The Lord put us first. He left the glories of heaven. He took on human flesh. He lived. He died for your sins, for mine. He died for the sins of the world. He was buried and he rose again. And not only does agape love express itself in humility, and not only does it put others first, but we find that agape love is not self-seeking, but seeks the benefit of others. And then finally, there's plenty of other ways to describe agape love, but agape love is obedient to the Lord. And that obedience is from a motivation of love, because we love the Lord, we're obedient to him, we do what he tells us, and that includes loving others. And so how do we love? How do we love others? How do we love with this Philadelphian love? How do we live with this agape love? How does that express itself in the context of the Christian life? Well, first of all, we love with a pure heart. It springs up from a pure heart, both the brotherly and agape love. And so we need to purify our hearts. We need to have purified hearts to be able to love others as we should. And so as we looked at last week, our hearts are purified by the Word of God. And so the Word of God, the Bible, as it is put into us, it purifies us, it cleanses us. And so the Bible is able to cut down into the deepest parts of our lives and get rid of the impure things. The Bible is able to cleanse our impure thoughts, our impure feelings, and our impure attitudes. And so as we spend time in the Word of God, we'll find that it not only helps us to love God more, but it also helps us to love others more. And so we need to love with a pure heart, but we also need to love constantly. There is no indication that we can stop loving others. There's no time where we are to stop. There's no offense that gives us the out to stop loving someone because they have offended us in a certain way. We are to love others constantly. In fact, the command to constantly love them can be seen as a command to never stop loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when there's a disagreement between you and another brother and sister in Christ, keep loving. If there's a disagreement between you and a lost person, keep loving. If there's an offense, if you've been offended by somebody, keep loving. If there is a misunderstanding, keep loving. When these things happen, make sure to talk it out with the other person. Otherwise, you might hold on to things you are to let go of. And so we need to not only love constantly, but we need to get rid of things in our lives as we attempt to love others with both a brotherly as well as a godly love, both Philadelphian and agape. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 tells us, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander." And so these are the things that we're to rid ourselves of. Malice includes all ill will or a general attitude contrary to the atmosphere and ethic of love. And so malice has no place in the life of a Christian. It does not have any place in the church. And so we need to get rid of all malice. We need to get rid of all deceit. Of course, this is pretty much self-explanatory, but if you truly love someone, there will be no deception in your heart. You will not try to deceive them. You will not want to deceive them. But out of love, then you will get rid of deceit. We need to get rid of hypocrisy. Love has no pretense. There is no impure motives when it comes to love. If we truly love someone, then we're not going to have an impure motive. Sometimes we might think that we love someone and find that we have impure motives, but if there are any impure motives, that is not love. It's not Philadelphian. It's not agape. It is not love at all. And so we need to rid ourselves of hypocrisy. And then we also need to rid ourselves of envy. You know, envy wants what someone else has, and sometimes wishes that the other person did not have what they have. This does not just include things, but could also speak of spiritual gifts, leadership, and just about anything. Rather than having envy of where somebody else may be in their position in the church, or maybe envying how close they are to God or seem close to God, we do not need to envy, but love will celebrate what the other person has from a pure heart. We'll be glad for the person and celebrate that the person has something more than what we have. And then we're also to, of course, remove from ourselves all slander. And so just like malice, deceit, hypocrisy, and envy have no place in the life of a Christian, slander does not either. Slander is putting someone down, is degrading their name, or even gossiping about someone. And so we need to rid ourselves of these things so that we can love each other with pure hearts. These things, they keep us from loving others as we're commanded to do. So we need to get rid of these things. We need to get rid of them and not participate in them. We don't need to let them be a part of who we are. And we certainly don't need to let them be in the church. And so as we've looked at love, both the brotherly love as well as the godly love that we ought to have for each other, let me close by sharing with you from Romans chapter 12. Verses 9 through 13. Verse 9, Romans 12 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. Do not lack diligence and zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality." And so it is with that type of love we are to live out our Christian faith as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to help us to love one another, both as brothers and sisters in Christ, but also with that agape love that is not self-seeking. It is unhypocritical, it is without deceit, it is pure in every way. It is the love that you have for us. Help us to love others in the same way. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again for joining us for our midweek Bible study. God bless you. Have a great week.